spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. We thank you for tuning in today. Once again, we thank you from all across the world, the listeners that take time out of their day. Hopefully this 20, 25 minutes will inspire you, encourage you, and lift you up wherever you are and whatever you're dealing with. I know we share a lot, Mom, with the audience and kind of go back and forth with so many different stories and so many different characters in the past probably 5 weeks, introducing the people that God put in my path on my prison journey to basically iron sharpen iron, these various individuals. So we kind of left one individual out who's so instrumental, pivotal in my life, and he was like my brother.
From another mother.
And that's what we would call each other. We would call each other my brother from another mother. So when he would write me or I'll write him, we write BFAM, B-F-A-M, brother from another mother. So his story is so similar to mine. Our backgrounds, our personalities, obviously our circumstances are like a fingerprint. Everybody's is. But the similarities, even the family makeup, very similar in this individual. But before we introduce him, what's crazy is my journey did begin on a tier that was high profile in prison, which means the state of New Jersey had vested interest in these inmates, the clientele there. And a lot of the guys in there were either former corrections officers that got in trouble, former police officers, judges, lawyers, and professional athletes. And this is where I was able to meet Jason Williams, the former NBA All-Star for the New Jersey Nets. And me and him spent so much time together. I mean, day in and day out.
Wait, can we clarify, though? That whole tier was not all that type of person, correct?
No, there was so if you can imagine, the only place where certain individuals can be placed in the entire state on this tier.
So when you say the vested interest, you're not meaning like favoritism.
Well, considering most people's backgrounds, yeah, there would be a level of partiality that would go into a law enforcement officer that is in prison.
For their protection.
Yeah, because imagine there's guys in there that they locked up.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. I don't want people to think like, oh, because you're in law enforcement,
we're going to give
you special treatment.
I'm talking about you got to keep an eye on a lawyer or a judge. You got judges in there that gave guys time.
Got it.
Are you kidding me? Crossing paths with the judge that gave you time, and now he's in the same prison as you?
Right. I just want people to understand that.
What I mean by all that is they had to keep these people
separate.
So a lot of people would say, oh, that's protective custody. But in a way, we still had interaction with a lot of the general population. But trust me, everybody on that tier's paperwork was vetted, scanned, and to be sure that they were placed in the proper area of that institution. So,
and you had almost like a double whammy. Because
well, yeah, my father was in law enforcement, former police chief, current undersheriff of Cape May County, New Jersey. And then me, the publicity that I garnered from being a professional athlete and then having that double spotlight. And then, I mean, when I arrived, all of the inmates were waiting for me because they watched it on the news.
Got it.
So they knew it was only a matter of time before I entered into that tier. And what's crazy is I knew Jason was coming to that tier before he even got placed into.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you knew he was coming to that prison, but you assumed that
he was going to be the same thing. Yes. My peers assumed I was coming because professional soccer player. So he showed up, I'm there. And what's funny is I was sitting on my bunk bed when Jason showed up. And I had already told you that the whole entire tier changed, the whole entire dormitory. It's a dormitory setting, like a military barracks, if you're trying to picture it. Nothing but bunk beds along a wall and common areas in between each bed space. And then a long highway that goes from the front of the tier to the back of the tier. So just consider a high school hallway. That's what it looks like. That's the highway. And when Jason came on the tier, obviously 6'11", he has to duck underneath the entryway. The guard lets him in, locks the gate behind him. And I'll never forget it. The whole tier stops, obviously, and a lot of people run up to him and, you know, greet him and shake his hand. Guys that were kind of, for lack of better terms, diabolical, that instantly
manipulative,
became polite, yes. respectful. And I'm like, wow, look at this.
Well, remember, too, though, he really was a celebrity. If you...
Oh, sure.
Yes. I mean, I followed Jason as when he was in his prime of
Absolutely.
His basketball career. He was on The Tonight Show.
So did I.
I mean, he was on, you know, all the talk
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, I mean, they coined him as a celebrity baller.
Had this not happened, he would be like the Charles Barkley is on on these talk shows. And
absolutely.
Yes.
He's a he's still sought out personality because
sure.
of his wittiness.
He's very witty. But you could see, I can imagine that having someone like that come to your tier, suddenly these people that, like you said, have these minds that are manipulative – see an opportunity.
Well, yeah, the night before they're all talking about what they're going to get from him. How much money do you think I can get from him? And he, you know, just I'm listening to these conversations and just blown away. And obviously you had already told me, Matthew, you better never be impressed by somebody's celebrity or status. And in fact, you're there for him.
That's exactly what I thought.
And I prayed about that when he arrived, that we would obviously have a brotherhood and I would find somebody to confide in and likewise. And but when he walked on the tier, and he's walking down the tier, and I used to always make fun of him in front of everybody. Like, sometimes the staff would come on. I'd be like, man, this guy walks on the tier. And he starts introducing himself to every single person on the tier, saying, how you doing? I'm Jason Williams. And I'm thinking, we all know who you are. We know who you are. But he's like, yeah, okay. He calls me Sticks. Okay, Sticks. You're the only person that didn't run up to me. And I said, yeah, because I didn't want to smother you, man. But over time... You know, he's the one that he sat down at the table with me one day. I'm studying God's word real early in the morning, and he sat across from me. And I look up, and he says, can I sit here? That was our first interaction. I said, absolutely. And then every morning, he would sit across from me, and then we would start to discuss God's word.
Which he had in his life.
Which he had in his
through
life.
Through his mother, and he had those seeds planted.
Oh, yeah. His father and his mother, especially his father, was a huge influence on Jason about discipline and hard work, and just he always very polite. Jason always had a huge heart for people, so his reputation in that world preceded him. I mean, one small story was the stadium they were playing at in North Jersey. Well, the whole team went on lockdown. Or I say lockdown, that's a prison term. strike. They went on a strike.
Lockdown.
And they went on strike.
He's confusing two worlds now.
They went on strike, which required the employees of the stadium to be out of a job until the strike was over. Well, Jason paid everybody's salary.
I remember reading about that.
I mean, that's impressive.
That's really impressive.
Anyway.
That's a good heart.
So as Jason and I, we talked about Jason several shows ago about our influencing institution and just trying to do as much as possible with our sphere of influence. And that is what caused us to get separated. And the reason why they moved me upstairs was because he had an extended bed, and they could not remake a bed upstairs. So they figured they would put me upstairs.
To the dungeon. Up to the dungeon. Funny thing is, you guys used to call me seriously every 4 days with a new harebrained idea of how you were going to reform the prison system. And me, I'd be doing all your little errands, running around, trying to implement what great ideas you have. We're going to write to the warden. We want to give money to help people that don't have money.
We did.
So when you think back, God is amazingly, has a funny sense of humor.
I wish I could find this letter. I think we got a return letter from like the commissioner of the New Jersey
yes.
Department of Corrections, basically saying, dear inmate Matthew Mayer and inmate Jason Williams.
I think I have it somewhere if we got to find it.
Do you guys have any idea where you're at?
I remember that letter. I have it in a file somewhere.
No, we didn't.
But anyway, so you get moved up, and
I get moved up, and we talk about how I met Little John up there, and it was God playing chess, and we talk about the idea that it's not God just playing games with our lives. No, but he oversees the board. He's not playing against the enemy or the devil. He's above and beyond that. He's playing against himself, which means checkmate, victory. Game over. It's done. Every move on that board has already been calculated. So you find yourself next to certain pieces on the board, and you might question, yet God needed you there for a time, a reason, and a season. And I noticed that Little John came in at a perfect time where a bed opens up next to mine and we get along so well. And I was able to kind of be an example for this man to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, this is at a time where now Jason is left alone on this tier.
Without his accountability person.
Which was me.
Brother. Yeah.
So it was hard when I got moved upstairs. That was like a blow that I almost didn't recover from. Because you get to know somebody so well. And Jason, likewise, he felt that. I mean, when we would see each other in church movements, which was the only time we could see each other, you could see it in our eyes.
Listen, I can only imagine because I wasn't in prison, but when that happened, it happened to be the week that my dad was dying. That almost wiped me out because as a mom...
Yeah, it was the week of March 7th.
I knew how, not that you were comfortable, but that you were okay. You had settled in.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing comfortable about prison.
Yeah, you settled in. You had someone who was not only an athlete, but a Christian. You guys were growing in the Lord, and you were leading. And
right.
Suddenly now you're uprooted. And
right.
So that was very unsettling in this house, too.
Right. And, you know, we even felt for Jason because he was like this – he's a grown man. But we did so much for each other. I, on one end, was his buffer. I kept people away from him. I gave him his time. He got a chance to rest when I was around because people wouldn't, they wouldn't come up and interrupt.
That's funny because Little John became that for you.
Yes, and I didn't know what that felt like.
And you never had that.
So I couldn't have met. I was so exhausted without even realizing it while I was with Jason because I spent so much time just doing for both of us. And when I got upstairs, almost like I took a deep breath and said, huh. I don't have to make coffee for two people. I could just make it for myself. I could just sit here and just relax.
And what's interesting, because you were doing so much for Jason, I know I was your secretary for the both of you, but what was interesting, again, another piece of this story, you did all the writing of your books upstairs, I believe.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to write like that just because me and Jason had so much going on. I really didn't have time to write outside of my blog and whatever else writing, but I started to really write those books, multiple books, while I was upstairs.
Which I want to interrupt at that point to say that his You May Be, the only Bible somebody reads, is out there available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's getting amazing reviews from those that are using it. Many of the people that I know that are using it are actually using it as a devotional. I also think it could be part of a curriculum and a leadership class. But that's for another show. Get back to this.
Well, interestingly enough, there was another young man in the institution, and he was actually across the hallway. And when I say hallway, I mean there's two corridors. One's east side, one's west side. I was on 2 East. Well, this individual was on 2 West. And people would come up to me and Jason and say, hey, you should get this guy, this young man, moved onto your tier. He's a class act. He's an athlete. You guys will love him. He's young. And it would give us like his background and his history. And we were actually looking into that. We were talking to some correction officers that we knew that we had favor with, and we were saying, hey, what are the odds of getting this guy moved on to our tier? Just to, you know, strengthen your fellowship. And it was around this time. Actually, we got him moved on to the tier. Like 2 days before I get moved off, we get Sean moved on.
That's who we're talking about today, Sean McGurk.
Yeah, his name's Sean McGurk. We get Sean moved
on. That was 2 days before you got
moved. It was like a couple days. Literally, I was like helping him unpack. We were getting to know each other. We were going to rec. We were loving it.
Wait a minute, though. Why did I think that you and Sean had some friction between you?
Because we only got to know each other for those few days. And when they called me to the gate to pack me up, he was one of the ones that came over and said, hey, you should call your dad. And I remember just being so calm. This is what kind of amazed everybody. I went and looked at everybody. I prayed with the group. Packed up my stuff because I knew you couldn't get anywhere. I did make a phone call to give you guys a heads up that I was being moved, and then I left. Well, as I get upstairs now, Sean basically takes my place at the table with Jason, which
right.
is cool.
Yes.
You know, now imagine the people that love that because, one, Matt's gone. Haters going to hate.
Sure.
Now they're spreading rumors like, oh, man, he replaced you that quick. Jason forgot about you. But that was never the case because we would always see each other in church. And Jason became –
passing each other notes.
Yeah, we'd pass each other notes. And
I don't know, legally or illegally, but go ahead.
Well, people would transfer notes or messages yes. from upstairs to downstairs. Other than that, we wouldn't see each other. Jason was instrumental in leading Sean because Sean comes from a Catholic or Catholic background. So Jason –
Well, more religious than relationship.
Well, yeah. I mean, he didn't come to prison and didn't open that word of God. It was more like, hey, he's just going through the motions where he's at. So Jason was the one that sat him down at this table where we used to study and said, hey, Sean, let's study the word of God. So it was the first time Sean was able to study. You know, it's kind of, it is foreign, Mom, even in the Christian world, the Catholic world, to study God's word.
Exactly, in whatever religion background that you come from. But let me ask you this. So how long was Sean in this prison before he moves into your spot 2 days after you get moved out of your spot?
Maybe even like a couple days, a week maybe.
Oh, he's not even
in
there long.
He just came from CRAF. Remember, he did a lot of time at CRAF, which is the Central Reception and Assessment Facility. He was going to do all his time there. He was going to spend his whole time at the cadre unit, which is a work unit.
Uh-huh.
And he was like the tier liaison. He was doing his time successfully. He was working in the law library. He was working for the chaplain office. He was spending a lot of time just moving in the prison and helping inmates out. And then something happened where one of the people in the chaplain office gave him a letter to hand to somebody else. And in the letter was reference to him. Right? So the person in the office should have gave it to somebody else to transfer this letter. It was an innocent letter about getting visits from his mother who was just with
diagnosed.
Just diagnosed. That's the word I was looking for.
With cancer.
With cancer. So he's transferring a letter
for
extra visit times with his mother, and he gets pulled over by a random cop. The cop asks what's in his hand, takes the letter out, opens it, and in the letter is a letter about himself signed by whoever in the chaplain office.
So that's a violation.
It looks shady. Like, why do you have your own letter? Why are you carrying your own letter to give you special visits? So what happens when the system catches you and they don't want to look into it and they don't want to show any discretion? They ship you out.
So, well, I mean, just think about this. So Sean's on his own little journey somewhere else, far away. And God is already designing that this young man is going to come and actually replace you. Strengthen Jason.
Yep.
Introduce Sean to Jesus. You're upstairs now where there's another guy who's going to be coming in. We talked about little John. That, you know what, anybody that's listening, I hope you take pause right now and think, if this story doesn't show you that there are people, places, and things that God has already designed for you, and if you start to look with the eyes that God wants you to see with, you're going to see God more clearer. And so that's pretty cool.
All right, so now, me and Jason are now, we're signing up for the library on the same day for the same time slot.
Just for meetings.
For meetings. So nobody knows about this. Secret meetings. So we're meeting in the library, and this is where Jason starts to be Jason, where he starts to say, hey, man, Sean's a good athlete. I think he's a better athlete than you. I'm like, come on, Jay, I don't even want to talk about that. He's like, no, he can ball. He's a competitor. He's a tough kid. I think he could take you. So this is where back and forth we'd go. I'm like, come on, Jay. You know nobody could take me downstairs. And then we would be like, you know, just charismatic with each other about sports. And Sean is a good athlete. So this is the beginning of Jason having fun with the idea of putting Sean and I against each other, knowing it could never happen because we're on separate floors. So we're going to close today's show in a couple minutes with the idea that little John works in the big yard. That's his job. He is a...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a weight stacker.
Oh, he was the weight stacker.
So that means he gets to go into every rec movement to organize the weight yard, which means when weights are done, they're scattered all over, he would go, and you got to count them.
Weights,
you know,
for working out.
People would hide them.
To beat somebody up.
They would bury them so they can use them as weapons. So you have to have an account for every weight in the yard. That was little John's job. That was the joke. You're a weight stacker. And anyway, this is how he's able to go into their rec and talk to Jason and meet Sean. And this is where little John, as my like bodyguard, my biggest supporter, is basically saying, you're crazy, Jason. You know nobody can hang with Matt in workouts. You saw him work out. You saw him break.
Oh, it all
started with basically picture like Don King and some other big
promoters,
boxing promoter going back and forth with each other. Now Jason's having a kick, loving it, just putting Sean and I
putting
with each
other.
Putting
the fire under your feet because you're both athletes.
But guess who doesn't think it's funny?
Who?
Little John.
Oh, little John.
Little John wants to – hey, what? You challenging Matt? He wants me to break whoever. And we're talking about workouts. Little John would literally invite people into the big yard in our workouts because they, you know, a lot of people think they can hang. Hey, do you mind if we jump in? Well, little John's workouts for me were so extensive, so intense that by the first rep, just a set, guys were breaking or falling off. So he would go back and put stick figures in his locker basically saying – nobody can hang with this young kid. I was in excellent shape, Mom.
Well, how did he know that how you were with workouts? Like, how did he know that your endurance was what it was?
Well, he's big in working out in the yard.
Does he work out hard
like
that? Yeah.
What? That dude is an ox.
Is he? I'm sorry, Little John, if you're listening. I'm sorry. I just don't see all those bulging muscles.
No, they said at Rahway, when he was in Rahway doing his time, he was like the biggest dude walking.
Really?
Huge, but strong. So now he's
in
his upper 40s now.
And stuff like that?
He can't because of his leg, but he was.
Okay.
No, but weight with weights. But he would oversee me. He would put me, he would design literally professional workouts based on muscle building magazines or bodybuilding magazines, and he would take the best of the best. And what was popular when we were away were all these T90X,
yes.
And he was taking them, saying, Matt, you think you can do this? And he would bring a stopwatch out, and he would have me do sprints around the blacktop. Then I would stop on each corner and do like crazy burpee sets. Then I would do jumping jack sets. Then I would do all this crazy stuff with weights. So I'm in like impeccable shape, and anybody that's trying to jump in, because when you watch, you say, wow, that looks like a really good workout, and everybody wants a good workout in prison. Well, before they even get done one set, they're like throwing up.
Right.
So Little John, and this is going on for weeks, Jason talking trash in jest.
Are you all in the same yard yet?
No, I can't. Okay. I didn't get my job changed yet.
Okay, got you. But so is John in the yard?
John is able to put me through a workout one day. This is how it all came down. John says, I'm going to design a workout. I'm going to run Matt through it in his rec. We'll have witnesses. We'll time it. And I'm going to come out to your recreation, and we'll put Sean through it.
This is so funny. Sean, when you get out, this is too funny. I want Little John in the studio. I want Sean.
Sean's an awesome athlete, by the way.
Yes. Well, where are we at with time? Because
we got like, I'd say a minute, so we should probably close up shop.
All right, because we could talk. We have to talk a little bit about why Sean's in there, I think,
okay,
for people to understand that at the next show.
Yes, we will.
And then, yes, tell us about, I know about his background as an athlete, so we want to talk about that too.
Okay, so we'll get to that. And I guess, hopefully what you heard today was us just going back and forth, kind of setting the stage about what we're going to introduce next, which is not only divine design, but Sean had to go through tragedy while in tragedy.
Oh, yes.
So Sean he's the creator of his own tragedy, just like me. And now he's in there, and then he finds out his mother, who's a single mother. He's a triplet, by the way. Sean's a triplet. He has a sister named Kelly, and his other triplet is, his name's Mike. And then he has an older brother who was in law enforcement, and his name's Brian. So there's four McGurks. Raised by a single mother, and she is diagnosed with cancer. So Sean has to get that news while he's locked up. And we will continue with this thread. So we just want to remind you guys, wherever you're at, that God is in such control of your life, your circumstances. There's a verse that we always end each show with. It's Psalms 46:10, and it's, "Be still and know that I am God." And this is God saying that to your heart. Just be still. Let go and let him. He will work it out in time, and he will glorify himself and make good out of your circumstances. We hope that you tune in next time as we continue with this episode. Thank you. Loves me just as I am, despite all my flaws. He takes the pain from my flesh and leaves it right at the cross.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answered his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones they hate. Waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith. Pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven. There's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. know where you're going.
Listen. You guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah.
Don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ.